Welcome, 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 dear listeners. Wherever you find yourself across the country, please be safe. Please be at home. Please be resting, kicking it up. If you are traveling, all the best, specifically in reaching your destination safely, as obviously also ensuring that, you know, in between somewhere, the driver actually knows how to drive and stay on the road itself. But nonetheless, not here to share any particular ghost stories with you, although I can do that, specifically based upon this program for the holiday period that we've slated here for the 5:30 to 7 p.m. Segment, specifically that being the holiday reads or holiday reading, because in many cases, a lot of us just want to switch off. We're not there to check out emails. We're not there to check out, you know, what extra particular thing, you know, or task your boss sent you or your supervisor sent you. No, if you're on leave, if you're on the Christmas leave situation, you're there to rest. You're there to just kick back. You're there just to particularly, you know, unwind in many cases. Now, on today's particular segment, dear listeners, we obviously, as we all will do for the next couple of days or the next set of days, we'll be looking at interesting reads that you can do anywhere you find yourself, as well as also, it's not about promoting where you find these books specifically, because I won't tell you where these books are. Otherwise, I'll get an invoice for primarily promoting said retailers. But you'll be able to peruse, and once you come back from wherever you've gone to specifically throughout the country, if you've evacuated from Windhoek specifically, then you can come and have a look at these particular interesting reads that I've also highlighted. So, just to let you know as well, dear listeners, during the particular course of of today's segment, it's not. I'll do my best not to laugh. I'll do my best also not to, well, if you're laughing, you know, all the best, you know, then at least the particular experiment is working. However, it's a discussion not to embarrass anyone. It's a book that was primarily printed or that comes through from the UK because from what I could discern when I read it the first time and when I obviously prepared for this particular program, I once again perused through it. Yes, perusing also means reading. Was that I forgot how easy it is to read and the particular lightheartedness that this particular book had been compiled with. So, just to let you know, dear listeners, it's a straightforward situation. It's a straightforward talk and it's one that ultimately will lighten up your day for today because we will be going through various interesting reads that I'll compile for you and that you'll be able to also work through, as well as also various resources to, if you're someone that wishes to be hit hard with, with a challenge. There are people that sometimes go about and they go talk about, being struck with a challenge in terms of reading material. You should never look at reading material as being a challenge. Please, guys, if you're reading for leisure, which is what the segment specifically on Eagle FM every day from Monday to Friday will be for the next couple of weeks, is all about leisurely reading. This is not you being sent on a test or to be tested by someone for somewhere being asked, how many pages did you read? How many pages did you achieve? This is for you. If you're looking for something that's light, easy to digest, easy to sit down, have a quick 30 minutes to read through, not to page through, please read through some of these particular reads that I'll share with you here on the holiday read or the holiday reading segment specifically will be based upon things that you can, specific pieces of literature you can pick up very quickly and you can sit down. I will also share with you difficult things to read. Because you've got to scale it up, man. We're not here for the beginner's levels only. We're here also to share like real literature. Literature is just as good as knowledge because literature also helps you look into the scale, the depth, as well as also the capabilities of authors in giving you a particular subject matter and how you look at that subject matter. And I've got a couple of books lined up for you in this particular week as well, and in the coming weeks as well. Things that I've read, stories particular that I will be able to share with you, specific titles and authors that you can pick up anywhere from the secondhand bookstores in Windhoek to the particular new book retailers in Windhoek as well, and wherever you find yourself. I'm not a strong person on e-readers, just so that you know. I'm not a strong person on reading things digitally, even though I do prepare daily for the home run and for the other shows here on Eagle FM from digital variances or versions of documents and reports and other pieces and sources of literature. I do prepare from digital resources. In that scenario, it's based upon a situation of one based off a need versus a particular sort of like a leisurely preference. And my preference in many cases is having the hard stone cold copy. But before we actually continue, dear listeners, we'll quickly take a short break. After the break, we'll come back and we'll head into in earnest into our discussion for today's program. That being, this is Eagle FM's Holiday Reads or Holiday Reading. And we'll be back right after this. Stay tuned. And as always, dear listeners, you know what my particular mandate is. You know, call us participation and contribution is available and is open. Meaning during the course of the program, you can call through at 083-288-4041. And specifically, we'll be back right after this.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
This is an Ongwadiva Achievers Private Center live read. Boost your grade 11 NSSCO results. We are designed to help learners obtain better grade 11 NSSCO results. Intensive practical and teacher-led sessions. Affordable fees with flexible payment actions, with flexible payment options, subjects that are on offer, English as a second language, Oshindonga, biology, chemistry, physics, mathematics, development studies, agricultural science, geography, history, economics, business studies, entrepreneurship, and accounting. How to apply? Complete the application and pay the application fee, which is of 150 Namibian dollars. Email the application to Ongwadiva Achievers Private Center at wu.edu.na, and alternatively send your application via WhatsApp to +264 81651 5138. For more information, call Mr. Natangwe at cell number +264 81651 5138. Ongwadiva Achievers Private Center, empowering minds, shaping futures. Now, as we come back, dear listeners, from that particular short ad break right there, and obviously welcoming you to the first edition of our specific session here. Just for a moment there, saw a message pop up. Our first particular session here on Eagle FM's holiday programming, that being Holiday Reads. And I mean, it's an interesting book that we'll start off for today, because as I mentioned, it's a light, super light read. It's an interesting thing for any people out there who also want to find, you know, ways of potentially writing similar kinds of literature. I can share it with you. I won't share the physical book with you, but just in terms of how this particular resource or this particular piece of reading had been constructed, because it's pretty light. It's a pretty straightforward thing. And it helps to, you know, pass some time if you need to just read something. You don't want to be there on your phone, you know, wasting your phone's battery away in some cases, which is something that also irked me a lot, specifically when I recently traveled to China. The downside was you try to surf on your phone because you're so used to surfing on your phone, and then you realize, oh my goodness, I'm halfway through the air between Windhoek and Addis Ababa. Your data doesn't work at 5,000 kilometers in the air. I'm just lying. It's not 5,000 kilometers in the air, but just so that you know, pretty high up. And you obviously take a look at the particular talking point, that obviously, you know, you just want to scroll through. You just want to spend some time in terms of distracting your mind from knowing that it's about a 10-hour flight, you know, just give or take. Now, since many of you obviously would have traveled throughout Namibia and you would have been driving, and you obviously in many cases would have reached your destination by now, our particular first, I don't want to call it like our first victim in our dissection of literature for this particular session of Eagle FM's Holiday Reads, is that the book that I've got in my hand right now is known as, is titled F in Spelling. You know, it's literally that symbol F, you know, that you sometimes find in test transcripts, or test documentation after a learner or students have written their tests and the lecturer or the teacher grades it. That symbol F with that literally that Koki, you know, that Koki pen, kind of illustration. So, the book F in Spelling, written by Richard Benson, is actually a hilarious look specifically into some of the most hilarious test scores. Please, I'm not calling out someone's name. I'm not calling out a Hilaria or hilarious. The word is hilarious from English. Specifically, it is excruciatingly, painfully funny in terms of some of the particular contributions, responses that were given by learners. Now, I have never given such responses ever in my good old Catholic boy upbringing or background, as, you know, in terms of you must be respectful, you must, what the teacher asks for, you try to answer, or if you don't know, well, it was sometimes also a problematic scenario if you said you don't know, because as an adult, you grow up being taught, if you don't know, sometimes that is the best response to a situation that you actually don't know. And actually, Dave Chappelle reinforced that with his latest comedy, you know, comedy classic that he came up with a couple of days back. Before we continue, dear listeners, we're going to take a short ad break.
Heineken's iconic balanced taste that gives you that refreshing first only made possible by Heineken's 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Coming back from the quick break right there. So the book we've got here in front of us, F in Spelling by Richard Benson, is hilarious in that you see the later or the last resort, because this literally is sometimes the last resort answers that learners give that you can imagine. You're just imagining this kid that goes like, ah, what kind of a question is this? Did I ever study for this particular part of the test? Or this particular part of the scope. And in many cases, I myself, guys, have run into a particular session where, I mean, the best example I still remember was back at university level, as a fourth year student at NUST, before they became NUST. It was known as Polytechnic, in my marketing class. And one of the ladies in the class, you know, stuck up their hand and said, you know, asked the lecturer, you know, what's the scope? And I was like, you never ask a lecturer for a scope, because a lecturer, in many cases, what lecturers do, they sometimes give you a diversion. They sometimes deploy diversion tactics. Meaning, if you ask for a scope, they'll tell you, okay, the work we just did is going to be the scope. Lo and behold, the work you will encounter in the test would be work that was either covered like 3 weeks that way, and then the work you just finished yesterday was never in the scope or was never considered to be in the test. So situations like that obviously are hilarious, because you, in many cases, some students obviously would go and literally just study one part of the work instead of just being able to know all the work that they've covered. However, the last resort answers and responses that you will be able to hear on today's session of the Holiday Reads is literally, they could seem like sarcasm. They could seem like a complete joke, and you sometimes would ask yourself, is this really the kinds of responses being given? But in many cases, just to share with you, dear listeners, what Richard Benson writes here in this particular book, or actually, on the blurb, on the back cover of this book, it is written here by the publisher. Just want to get this publisher's name. The publisher's name is Summersdale Publishers, where they say, exams are full of traps for the unwary. This can lead to hilarious consequences, especially for those who may not be totally prepared. This collection of exam howlers and spelling slip-ups reveals that there's no reason why ignorance should stop you from coming up with a brilliant answer. Exams will never be the same again. What is the genetic term for birds that hunt for food and primarily via flight? And this is literally in the book itself. Birds that prey, but not prey as in the word predator, you know, that you would spell P-R-E-Y. Literally birds that prey, you know, think of a bird actually putting its wings together and making the particular proverbial prey gesture. You know, the gesture where people put their hands together to symbolize that they're going into prayer, to worship something. This is literally one of the responses in the book itself. So when you see these particular kinds of responses, subjects and categories that range from biology to chemistry, to history and geography, is a read that is recommended to you that will give you the laughs that you would require or that you would need over this period of rest and calm. If you're a light reader, books like this is what you would need. You know, someone who also just wants to switch off for the time being, you know, just try and go and recuperate, recharge your battery. A book like this would definitely help you on your holiday. Now, the reader who wants something light or the curious mind who wants to escape from an overstimulated environment with some quirky, easy reading material, I recommend this particular book. Not my book, not my specific copy, you know, go get your own. But if you want something, you know, things similar to this, the bookstores are full of this across Windhoek. So what do we start off with? In the introduction, some of the funniest things is what Benson actually lays out here for us. Because it's literally like the subject matter covers all subject matter that you would find in schools. Biology, chemistry, maths, physics, English, religious studies, music and drama, classical studies, media and business studies, physical education even. Physical education, can you believe that, guys? They write exams for physical education as well. And then you've obviously got a subject by the name of personal health and social education, history, and geography. Now, some of the particularly interesting things that have been cited here in the introduction of the book has been that exam season is getting nearer and nearer. Obviously, for many of us, exam season would have ended now, recently. Benson writes that the multicolored revision timetable has come out and any semblance of a social life has completely disappeared, apart from the scheduled 5-minute conversations with your mum to break the monotony. You know, sometimes when you try to just recuperate from trying to hammer or charge everything into your brain, and then literally you find yourself going like, okay, let me get up, let me stretch my legs, let me go and talk to my mother or to someone in the house or go bother someone else, you know, just to sort of like ensure that you can regain that concentration level again. Well, based upon some of the statistics that we were always told on university level, for example, at one stage as a university student, we were told by one of our lecturers that at that stage, the classes or the lessons were all just 1 hour long. And in many cases, the timetabling was, or the setup of timetables was on a scenario that lessons may not be more than 1 hour. At least the smallest that you can go is 55 minutes. Why? Because at this was 2006 and 2007, thereabout. The lecturer shared, or they, you know, shared particular notes on the notion that they realized from some research that came through from at that stage when we still had the Ministry of Higher Education, is that students, learners, so being you either on primary and secondary school levels, and then also on tertiary level, apparently developing minds can only pay attention at most in a lesson for 45 minutes. At most for 45 minutes. So it made things a little bit tricky because the timetables we always had as students on university level was always an hour. In many cases, for those students that studied in other countries, those Namibians that were students in other countries, you would obviously have observed that in some cases, your lectures were sometimes an hour plus. You know, it extended past the 1 hour mark. And it made things difficult because this is based upon attention spans. And attention span is a critical thing because it's not the lecturer's, you know, scenario, or the emphasis is not on them paying attention to how they are conducting the lesson or the lecture. It's actually to you, the learner, the student, about how well you can actually pay attention during said lesson. Now, obviously, what Benson cites here specifically has been a discussion that in terms of that we've all been through. We've all been there. Now, he still continues by saying in his introduction, but when it comes down to it, and you find yourself sitting at a rickety desk, so coming down to it meaning getting to the exam, and you find yourself sitting at a rickety desk in a cavernous sports hall. Oh my goodness, I remember Centaurus High School. I remember Centaurus High School so badly, because it had a sports hall and the assembly, or it has a sports hall. You know, Centaurus is still where it is. It has a sports hall and an assembly hall. I think Centaurus High School is probably one of the few schools that I know that has the best facilities for a school. And in many cases, it was actually a school that was thrown with so many facilities, you know, probably, you know, at the time when it was constructed in the 70s or the 80s, you know, the education authorities back then, pre-independence, probably thought, you know, this English speaking crowd of learners for the school would probably be like the A game or the creme de la creme of learners, that Namibia would have in future. What's that favorite phrase I love to use? Hanakam. Nah, dude, that's not the things that I saw. But anyway, it had wonderful facilities. It had, what's these labs? It had science labs, which had the utensils, the basins, the storage cabinets. It had a lovely library, a designated library, literally a library. It had a multipurpose media room. And it was a school that you could see that had wonderful facilities. A girls' hostel, boys' hostel. The picture you see today, you'd be telling me, Dwight, you're lying. You're absolutely talking a whole bunch of rubbish. But that's the unfortunate thing specifically when you look at what was pre-independence and what is 35, 36 years later post-independence. Obviously, you know, not the A-game of teachers are there and not the A-game of students are there, because your facility is also about the best kind of students that you attract for you to be able to dispense the best level of service delivery that you wish to get. I'm really sorry, guys, but I see this template all across the world, even in communist and socialist countries. The best students get to go to the best centers. This is not a discussion of everyone has access at an equal playing field or an equal level to the same facility. I don't know. I have never seen something like that in my life. But before we continue, guys, we'll quickly take a short break and come back after this.
Sometimes you have to raise a Vinduk beer and say cheers to you, the real ones. You know, the ones who save you a spot for the game when the bar is crowded. The ones who offer to drive for the night to keep everyone safe. The ones who bring you a cold Vinduk beer without being asked. When they're there for you in ways you never knew you needed, they aren't just friends. They're the real ones. So cheers to them. Vinduk, 100% real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
We come back from the quick ad break right there, dear listeners. And once again, welcoming you back to the Holiday Reads here on your number one talk radio station. Talk radio station. That being Eagle FM. And wherever you find yourself, tune in, sit closer. Let's have an interesting tongue-in-cheek discussion specifically about today's particular book. And obviously that this is a book that you'll be able to read anyway. Now, just where I left off before the break was a discussion, obviously not to chase a massive cat into the chicken coop. But unfortunately, in many particular cases, you know, what the template I've seen is that you have a system of the best education facilities that attract the best learners or kids with the best teachers. And then you have the not so good facilities that have not the best talents, both in personnel and in, those that require said particular services. And unfortunately, this is a system that you find in every country across the world. You find it. You can't deny it. The template is there. The template exists. And it's a template that everyone seems to just adopt. Now, bringing you back, taking away from the ideological speak and talk and rhetoric, bringing you back to our subject matter at hand. So, you obviously sit there imagining yourself as a school kid. For those of us who can remember our trauma back to writing the exams that we wrote. Oh my goodness, guys. It literally takes me back to 2000. No, was it 2000 and 2002? I mean, that was in many cases, I couldn't understand the high level of security taking place. But then I remember back to the characters that were with me in grade 10 and in grade 12. Yeah, they were not easy cup of, you know, they were not easy cups of tea over there. But yeah, the information that you obviously spent weeks drilling into your brain is obviously gone, leaving you clutching at any remaining crumbs of knowledge in the hope of a mark or two for effort. Now, obviously, with that sentence that I just read out to you, which Benson himself cites in this book, an F in spelling, is critical because we've all been there. We've all been at the proverbial wall of doom. You know, when you sit there doom, you sit there trying to recall, my goodness, what did I read yesterday? I know I read this particular segment, but what did I read? Don't worry, guys. We'll get to the segments in terms of the interesting responses that were given. Continuing on, or worse still, you have the facts at your fingertips, but a pesky letter or two falls out of place, rendering your answer completely ridiculous. And sometimes costing you the mark, that 1 point or that 2 points. Sometimes it's even the whole 20 points. But it literally costs you the test. This particular installation, because I read the sentence at the bottom, obviously of this particular book highlights, you know, the particularly loaded responses that were given. And the overflowing creativity by learners. For example, you may not get your desired grade with answers about Charlie's Angels or the environmentally friendly turtle power, but you'll have the exam marker at least in its stitches. Now, as I mentioned, dear listeners, this particular book goes through all subject matter that you could potentially think of that you would find on a secondary school level. Now, there's a whole bunch that are interesting. Because the first one that you find under the subject matter of biology, which is, I mean, okay. If you think about it, in some cases you learn biology to understand certain particular processes because you as a learner, you're on your way to try and achieve some sort of a medical or scientific degree or qualification the moment you get to the university. Because you know what your goal is, you know what you want to reach, and you know, you've got to go through these particular subjects on high school to get there. Well, if the question that you face is as follows, what part of the body is affected by glandular fever? Now, I did not do anything in mice. Biology on high school where I had to know about glandular fever because I've never heard of glandular fever. But lo and behold, dear listeners, there's a reason why things get embarrassing the moment if you forget, you know, in certain cases, what you studied, and specifically what the aim of the knowledge is, because we've all been told and we've all heard the statement that knowledge is power. Now, here's an interesting thing, just to give you insights. The response given on the test paper is the glandular. Now, firstly, you'd go like, sure, you know, if the question asks you what part of the body gets affected by glandular fever, any person would go like the glandular, you know, just to be sarcastic. But if you go and look at what actually exists out there about the actual information, the actual factual knowledge out there, is that glandular fever, which is an infectious, glandular fever, which is an infectious mononucleosis, or known as infectious mononucleosis, is a common viral infection, usually caused by the Epstein-Barr virus. No, not Jeffrey Epstein from the US. This is, you can obviously assume this is another scientific guy. And this particular infectious fever is spread through saliva. It is also commonly known as the kissing disease. Why is it known as the kissing disease and where is it often found? I'm sorry, guys, for laughing. And I promised you I would not make this a comedy show, but literally the book itself is a complete comedy show. The downside is not many of us know this disease specifically in the Southern Hemisphere, in terms of knowing or having knowledge about this disease as much. Probably the doctors. But I mean, if you ask yourself, where does the Epstein-Barr, come about, or its prevalence, or where does it happen? In many cases, you would find this in other parts of the world, because it says even here that about 95% of the population has been exposed to this virus, probably by the age of 40, and it is predominantly found between teenagers. But if you have to see the area, for example, like diseases or illnesses like what's the one? Ebola and all those other particular diseases that come here from the equator region of Africa. In many cases, those illnesses don't easily reach us because of a clear climate difference between Southern Africa and Central Africa. Another particular thing is obviously, in many cases, you find this illness, disease, or where it is spread, usually in some parts of the world. Yeah, you'll obviously find it in, maybe, in Namibia, because it can be considered an STD. Technically, its description to me sounds like an STD. But how it is transmitted is usually through kissing. I'm sorry for spoiling many people's particular romantic prospects out there who've never kissed before. I'm really sorry, but you know what? We humans, we are pretty nasty. I mean, if you read about it, transmission is usually that the Epstein-Barr virus infection is spread via saliva, and it has an incubation period of between 4 to 7 weeks. So the length of time that an individual remains contagious is actually very unclear. The chances of passing these illness to someone else may be highest during the first 6 weeks during the particular period of infection. Some studies have indicated that a person can spread the infection for many months, possibly up to a year and a half. And when you think about it in terms of this particular discussion here, primarily, I'll tell you today, guys, in my biology, we didn't do much about illnesses. We learned about food systems. We learned about the reproductive systems of humans. We learned about plants. We learned about whether plants are asexual, or, you know, the genders of plants. Yes, you do get male and female plants. And you do get some plant species that go and say, you know what, I'll do this myself. I'll have my own kids. Tongue in cheek, obviously. The scenario obviously has just been that when you obviously engage in some of the particular conversations regarding, you know, liberties, for example, in Namibia, it gets a little bit convoluted because people start using the term asexual, and I know all of my, or most of my scientific terminology. The moment someone explains to you that they are asexual, I start thinking, so you have both male and female organs? I have never heard of something like this. I've never seen a human like this who can, you know, give birth to a child and stuff like that. And obviously it confuses things a lot because the humanities guys do their best in terms of, you know, obviously confusing a whole bunch of us. But yeah, hence the reason why, you know, I'll be your guardian angel specifically during the holiday period to help you with the lingo. Now, the first obviously sort of like pothole was glandular fever. And the sarcastic response given by this learner was the glandular. The next was obviously, name a living organism that contains chlorophyll. Now that I do know, that most of us should know who have had biology in high school, is that there's only one entity, one thing on this planet. Actually two. It's actually two. You have algae, because algae has got green in it, and you've got plants. Yeah, it's two. Algae and plants, because algae, the green. The whole reason why you get green in plants is because of chlorophyll. This kid's response, guys, is literally the Incredible Hulk. Now, I don't know if I would have even given him even in a format of recognition for that response, because the whole idea around the Incredible Hulk is that he doesn't have chlorophyll in him. He doesn't have chlorophyll in him. The Incredible Hulk's whole idea is that how he came to be was literally because of gamma ray exposure. I mean, the idea of thinking that Hulk is some sort of a plant that gives off oxygen at night and absorbs carbon dioxide during the day, requires just water, and needs to be rooted in one space. It probably meant that the storyline for Groot, which technically is Groot in Afrikaans. I don't know. I mean, Stan Lee is, rest, you know, may his soul rest in peace, but in many cases, sometimes these English writers, they just do things backwards to front, and everyone is, and then the English speaking audience goes like, yay, look at this guy. He's, you know, he's come up with something novel. And then if you come from a different language group, you're like, what? Why would you use such a word? So to help you, dear listeners, with the Hulk's particular origin story, and just so that you know, and the difference between chlorophyll, obviously, is specifically that chlorophyll, is also, you can also define it and think of it as a pigment. Okay, I forgot about that particular word as well. But chlorophyll is the pigment that gives plants and algae their green color. The reason why they are green is because of chlorophyll. The basic structure of chlorophyll is a porphyrin ring similar to that of heme that is found in hemoglobin. The reason why your blood is red. Well, the reason why your blood is also red is because of the red blood cells, if you guys also don't know that. Red blood cells are the red guys, which are the guys that transport oxygen and carbon dioxide through your whole body system, through your arterial system. They're also the guys that, what's the other thing that they also transport? Nutrients as well. Your white blood cells that also run in the same, arterial system throughout your body is your body's natural defense. It's your first line of defense. They are actually known also as your immune system. You obviously also have other particular entities that act as a defense for your body, but your white blood cells is your defense. So just so that you know that you've got these little systems running in animals and in plants across their bodies. Getting to the Hulk's origins versus what the response was given by this kid. Hence the reason why you would be disappointed and thinking, how could this kid get to the color green? Guys, I read comics. I still read comics till today. Specifically because in many cases I love the art, because I'm an art connoisseur. Not entirely. Not, I will tell you different kinds of styles. I just like the art. I'm just a basic consumer. I like the art. I won't go as far as looking like a fanboy of an artist. I appreciate the art. I appreciate the artist's work and what they place there. You know, at the disposal of you know, a avid consumer or someone who just by chance ended up there, and you go like, wow, this is nice. So, the Hulk obviously is the alter ego of Robert Bruce Banner, who's the Doctor. And if you don't know what the Hulk is also based upon, the Hulk is technically based upon the template by, what was the artist who wrote, not the artist, the other author, written by Robert Louis Stevenson, the Scottish author. So Robert Louis Stevenson brought out a book. Yeah, it was a book because Robert Louis Stevenson is an author, but Robert Louis Stevenson in 1886 wrote a novella. A novella is slightly smaller than a novel in words and in size, known as The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Now, if you've never seen any TV adaptation or movie adaptation of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde is based upon the split personality of, or the split personality situation of Dr. Jekyll. So Dr. Jekyll was a scientist in the 1800s in the UK who was trying to achieve some sort of an scientific feat. He tested on himself with whatever his creation and invention was, some sort of a potion situation, and it created gigantism, or it changed him literally. Now, in some cases, some stories obviously made it literally split personality. The character, you know, moves between two different character zones. There was one guy that I watched a lot. What was his name? But it was a Stan Lee production because it was also, yeah, was it The Running Man? No, it wasn't Running Man. But it was another particular production where this guy had, the actor had to play this split personality guy. Obviously, they try to make it look, you know, without, if you don't have budget, you try to make it look like without any CGI and the likes, because that's also budget. But if it's budget constrained, obviously you rely on an actor that actually is pretty good at, you know, bouncing between personalities. So the Hulk, Marvel's The Green Hulk, or The Incredible Hulk, as the franchise is known, is based upon Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, which was written by Robert Louis Stevenson in the 1800s. The Hulk's whole situation stems from his accidental exposure to gamma rays while saving the life of another particular scientist. The scientist's name was Rick Jones at the time, who was the sidekick and the friend to Bruce Banner, the doctor, during the detonation of an experimental bomb. Now, if you don't know what gamma rays are, gamma rays is also known as gamma radiation, and it's a penetrating form of electromagnetic radiation that arises from high energy interactions like the radioactive decay of an atomic nuclei or astronomical events like solar flares. So if you've never seen or heard of a solar flares are generated by things like the sun. Solar flare is a abrupt but strong surge of sunlight and energy that is given off. And in some days, I don't know if you guys have ever felt this, if you've ever walked around in a clear day where it's just absolute sunlight, but the sunlight is like on another level because it's both burning, baking, and frying you where you are. Many cases, sometimes that could be caused by a high surge in ultraviolet light exposure, meaning UV light is high. And in some cases, it's when the sun, you know, decided to throw a little bit extra in Earth's direction. That's what a solar flare is. And that's why it's a little bit comical in a biology test or in a biology sense that this learner who was asked, you know, what entities contain chlorophyll? Or where do you find chlorophyll? Or name a living organism that contains chlorophyll. And he or she pops up with the Incredible Hulk. The Hulk does not have chlorophyll. The Hulk does not need carbon dioxide to breathe. And he does not give off oxygen. Nor does he need a root system to gather his nutrients from, because the Hulk is also, well, if you understand the Marvel Universe, he would be called a superhuman, a weird superhuman, because the Hulk's main point is based off of emotion. The angrier he gets, the more violent he becomes, the bigger he grows. That is the Hulk. So still getting into further X-Men Marvel-related jokes, the next question that pops up in the biology segment is, when an organism's genetic material spontaneously changes, what is it called? Give an example. Now, you guys all know we've all bumped into such questions. We've all bumped into similar things where we go like, I know this, I know this, I know this. And then it's on the tip of your tongue and you forget it. And you sit there wasting like 5 minutes. That 5 minutes could have been, you know, decently used to concentrate on a different question, or probably you go and attempt another question, you come back to that question. As many of us have been advised to do when we were students or learners on school and on university, if you don't know the answer immediately, don't dwell on the question, don't lose time, continue with the rest of the question paper. So, said particular question based upon an organism's genetic material spontaneously changing. Guess the answer, guys. Just guess the answer. I already gave you the answer. It's a Marvel-related answer. But just guess the answer. Well, here goes. In X-Men, when Logan grew bone claws and changed his name to Wolverine. What? The question is pretty clear. When an organism's genetic material spontaneously changes, what is it called? First and foremost, the X-Men reference is good. The wrong X-Men was used in this example. Why? Specifically, because the question points towards mutation. Now, where do you see mutations? And unfortunately, it's a very touchy subject. Mutations most commonly are observed in cancer. Why? Because cancer explains rapid mutation of cells, specifically in a living organism. Hence, in some of the reasons why when you look at cancer treatments around the world, in many cases, it's usually either you try to cut out, yes, you get operations, they try to cut out the cancerous cells, or they try to burn it, or they try to hit you with the chemotherapy, which is radiation, nuclear radiation, yes, through your body so that it kills all the cancerous cells. Obviously, the discussion about mutations is something that is natural, that happens. Mutations happen naturally. You get bad mutations and you get good mutations. Obviously, looking back, you know, at the talking points that obviously come about specifically in this question papers has been, you can obviously see these are like 16, 17, 18 year olds, obviously, you know, just being tongue in cheek, just being a little bit, you know, a little bit sarcastic, obviously, and they know that the, what was the thing that we were told in grade 10 and in grade 12? The people who are marking your question paper for your end of year marks, they don't know who you are. So obviously based on that particular, I almost said disposition. Yeah, disposition, yeah. Based on that specific disposition, you obviously would go like, okay, then I can give any kind of response that I want to if I don't know the adequate answer for the question. It makes things funny. It makes things quirky. Sometimes it's even like upright or, you know, straight up rude responses that are sometimes written down. But obviously it has to be marked and it has to be graded. I remember one particular question paper response that went viral. This was pre-COVID, but the kid, and this was an actual article, but it was a test. It was a classroom test. So the kid wrote or responded, and obviously it was, like I said, it was not so nice language because it was vulgar language that was used in response in the test paper. And the teacher, being an English teacher, because it was an English language test, went and graded the teenager on the written response on that question paper, and even indicated that this was incorrect spelling that was applied, even if it was a vulgar response. Yeah, those things happen. Now, the last question I'll deal with you guys from the biology setup is actually the most hilarious one. And this is another... It should be basic biology, but I even forgot about this response because, you know, you I mean, it's a good, for me, it's a good 20 years into that direction, 20 plus years. The downside is also, I didn't move into a biology field. I just did the subject, as part of this collection of subjects in high school, thinking that I could stay away from mathematics. You know, that specific short-sighted approach that we all apply in high school. The next question that was cited also here was a scenario. Oh, getting back to the Logan reference, the X-Men reference, the mutation reference that I just answered. So, fun fact. Logan is considered, if you're a Marvel comic book fan, Logan is considered a mutant, but from a different kind of a category. I only recently discovered that in the Marvel universe of comic books, all the particular heroes that are known or that have their own fan bases and their own particular, support, meaning people that support it, they have been explained. For example, you get guys like Hulk that come about from a specific kind of an accident that happens. But obviously, the situation with Hulk is that also, you get, there's some sort of a very dark history regarding Hulk's particular personal history as a character. For example, there are variations in terms of the timeline, the history. The most notable one, obviously, that began out in the 70s when the character of Hulk was created. Not the 70s, sorry, in the 60s, in 1962, was that Hulk obviously was exposed to the gamma ray radiation. The other variation, which is the character that Eric Banner played. Yes, Eric Banner playing Bruce Banner in the Hulk movie of the 2010s, was a situation where in that storyline, Hulk's father, or Bruce Banner's father, the scientist, the older scientist, had run experiments on himself, and the experiments had side effects in terms of when Bruce's mother was pregnant with Bruce. Bruce had, had certain particular after effects that formed part of his genetic makeup. So, it being that since the father, as a result, experimenting on himself, obviously being a married man, and obviously he and his wife trying for children, led specific to do some of the DNA transfer from the husband, forming part of the basic DNA structure of the unborn child, yet, that being Bruce, leading to Bruce's particular kind of storyline that was obviously now depicted in that movie, starring Eric Banner, and what was the name? Jennifer Connelly, yeah. That was one side of the Incredible Hulk storylines, because there are multiple storylines. Just so that you guys know, there are multiple storylines. Multiples. When you come back to the Logan storyline that I wanted to sort of like clear up, Logan is considered one of those, not immortal, because he's not actually immortal, but he has high regeneration capabilities, him and Sabretooth. If you don't know who Sabretooth is, Sabretooth and Logan, they have, what is his name? Something Creed. They have like, they've got like a feud, like a blood feud between the two of them. Is that these guys are actually part of a specific kind of a, mutant. In many cases, the discussions obviously cite, that this is something that obviously speaks to a story. It's fictional. It's based upon an evolutionary perspective. Obviously, that Stan Lee and the other creatives at Marvel Comics, before Marvel was bought over by Disney, is that the situation specifically speaks pretty boldly to, how do you ensure that these characters actually, have like entrenched storylines that are not too far-fetched, but at least in a scenario that looks good, is relatable, and is easy to adapt and understand to. Which is something that also pops up now in the Korean comic book industry. The Japanese obviously had a very healthy comic book industry, alongside the Americans, alongside the French as well, which obviously highlighted, their rich storytelling capabilities. For Logan, just so that you know, Logan was also originally known as Weapon X. Hence, the Wolverine name, because Wolverine was the project name under, what was that guy's name that Brian Cox played as the general, was the major. I keep forgetting that major's name, but Brian Cox obviously played that character. And, Brian Cox, he's a South African actor with a Scottish accent. And, the character that, what's this Australian actor's name? Hugh Jackman has played for a good 15, 20 years almost, is that Wolverine's whole history is a sad history as well. It's similar to the Hulk, but it's a whole sad history situation. Obviously, everyone's favorite Marvel hero is Spider-Man, but obviously Spider-Man has had certain particular political issues in recent years, specifically around the video games, that many people have sort of like said no. The politics around, or the gender politics, or the you know, the liberal politics around Spider-Man's particular identity is going in a totally different direction that is not desired. But we're still on this particular book. F in spelling. Now, the last question just before the ad break I want to leave you with is this particular biology question states, name two types of fat that is found in food. The response given by the kid was good fat and bad fat. We come back after this short ad break.
Get extra big savings for an extra special Christmas at WB. Like 2 liter Oros, now only $37.99. 750 gram Crossen Blackwell Mayo for $37.99. 10 kg Buck Pro Fat Cook Flour for $139.99. And 2 kg Surf Hand Wash Powder for only $48.99. See all our December specials online at vurmanbrock.com. We care.
Kungiriro kom karimo kehe edi pevijaehe mona mipia raka ota parandura etse ito jasimana talizi ku minitseri una mapsa ikwahi omea ne tendororo jevi natuli porakene nawa nukulita ambasana na negumbo aehe ashinda nukume natukulisi po omkaro wokuranda nokurandiza evijaehe omomashikenvera Oshoka, evijaehe mo Namibia, evije pangiro, no itali vuru nande okurandithwa kuchane omonkaroni, okukutha ombinga mirandiso jevijaehe, oshirima shahari paveta, oveta etenduro jevijaehe, ovitonjitano yomvomo vigari nambari, oyindika thiru thiru oshirima shika, iranduri irandiso jevi shahari paveta. Omagero opaveta, ona kuyona otashivurika pewe egero jukufuta, nenge jonzorongo, okupia ganika umbiri moshiwana. Irandizo nenge okuranda evi jaehe, otashivurika siete otamana na devi, oshowo uumbanda moshiwana. Shoka wapumga kutzea oshoshika, evi jaehe, oje tueni atuheni, ojo onzo mzoka zina okutoporirwa sana, no kuhanja uwanawa kukehe umwe, okupatirapo Uthiga wetu, mokusimaneka evi jaehe, potatu ganja esimaneko John Kuruhe vivetu, noku gamine na po, omzingoroko wetu. Lopota ume nyengo gali paveta. Una wanzindirike ushinguanima tashirimbirike, shanika ulingiringi werandizo jevi jaehe, shiropota mbara kerero jupanfinguru wakaro, ke uriko ngundumtima jevi jaehe, Nenge kombirewa yu ministeri pope pinangoe. Naturongere ni kumwe, moku gamine nako onzo zetu zevijaehe, morwa ushiwana shoko mongura. Koneka kucha, itashikakara ushina kuwadithwa shu ministeri, mekanizo kehejevi jahoroka onga ushizemo shiranizo jevi jaehe, jaripaveta, zimburukwa. Evijaehe, uyamba wapumba, naturigamine nepo nogurikarikapo, morwa uwa nawa wa keje gumwe, irongiro kumwe joe otali pandurwa, yetu mwara kantika joba radio, ujarungi kidwa ni ambilido joshi mariwa okuzake pangero jo Republika ya Namibia, nepangero jo Republika ya Ndoishi okupitira mumbanga yo mapendurepo yo KFW kuyerere wawedapo kwatafana nombere wa yo ministry pope pinangoye nenge ombere wa yipambere yo shiwana mu ministry una mapsa ikwahi omea netendororo jevi kon omara yongodhi nora hamano imwe omirongo mbali omirongo hetatu na heri omirongo hamano none
Coming back there from the extended ad break. Don't worry, guys. You know, I didn't answer a phone call in between. Just letting you know, it was a pretty long ad break, just so that you know. But I did see the phone line flashing in terms of just callers' contributions. You can call back at 083-288-4001. Let's have a listen what you guys, you know, like specifically or your traumas. Back to being a high school student in some particular cases. The last question that I remember that I left you with was a discussion that comes through from the book where the kid was asked or the learner was asked, name two types of fat found in food. Guys, if you don't know the answer in that biology question, it's unsaturated fats and saturated fats. That's the response. That's the answer. But for the kid to go good fat and bad fat. Let's get to the phone lines and let's take the first caller. Eagle FM, good evening.
Good evening, Dwight. You got it.
Hello, Madanga Bwana.
Oh, good, man. What's Klani?
Klanga Bwana, ni.
Reklani, Reklani. So, hey, yes, Eke Wall. Eke Wall.
Ek Waranga Bwana. That Waranga Bwana.
We are saying that there's fat and bad things, man.
No,
so this is what you are saying.
No, what I'm saying,
that's good, isn't it?
No, what I'm saying, Uncle Bona, is obviously from the book that I am.
Yeah. I like the one where they hide and seek, and all these things. I like that story.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So.
No. You were still saying, Uncle Bona. I'm listening.
No, I'm just greeting you, and because I haven't followed that thing much. You were just talking about the kind of food, the white bread, the this and that.
Yeah.
So obviously, it could be food that can really boost our immune system to fight against all those intruders into our body. But when you are now mentioning about bad fat and good fat, then I realize that you are talking something very important for our health.
Agobona, I'm talking about a book.
Those things are written in the book. That's what I'm saying.
I'm talking about a book, Agobona.
Yeah! What's our money here, man?
Osal. Okay, Agobona.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Apologies, guys. Apologies. Angabona, apologies. But yeah, you know, I sometimes have to help us to so that we stay on the course of discussion. Now, if you guys don't know, just for that last particular response, but I actually want to slip in this last one that comes through in the book again. Just remember, dear listeners, if you're joining us right now here on Eagle FM, the program you're joining on is known as Holiday Reads, where I share with you specifically certain kinds of books, titles. Obviously, I'll hold back on certain sections of the books, you know, where they probably might have some not so safe for children or parental guided situations. But yeah, in terms of the current book that we're starting off on this Holiday Reads, it's an easy to read book. If you will still probably find a copy of it, I definitely am not selling my copy, but you can find something similar always in the retailers in Namibia or throughout Namibia, wherever you are. And specifically, these kinds of books usually come, they're easy to read, not so many pages to peruse through, easy reading in terms of the presentation. And this particular book's name is F in Spelling, written by Richard Benson. On the cover, you will have a question that is featured there by in a test paper that was asked. Who was Marco Polo? And then the learner responded with a response of said, he was a famous Italian exploder. I know the joke, the joke is just so dry. There's no moisture in it. But unless the next particular question also gives you that element of hydration. Specifically, before I end off the biology segment, name the five senses. It's usually something we find in, you know, those pretty quick to answer segments of a test paper. This kid wrote nonsense, suspense, incense, common sense, and seeing ghosts. I stopped there because obviously when this book was written in 2014, at that stage, there was a movie many of us had seen partially. I had seen the whole movie, but the movie, was part of the overall, collection of movies that M. Night Shyamalan produced. If you don't know who M. Night Shyamalan is, dear listeners, M. Night Shyamalan is the guy that produced things like the, what was the movie's name? Glass, the Village. No, it's not The Village. Yeah, it was The Village. The Village, he produced a whole bunch of movies that were cool, a whole bunch that were not so cool. But he's actually known for giving you that suspense, drama-filled kind of storytelling situation. That last response, with what this kid wrote in his transcript of seeing ghosts, speaks to the movie The Sixth Sense. If you don't know the movie The Sixth Sense, it features Bruce Willis and what was that kid's name? Haley Joel Osment. Haley Joel Osment was at that stage a child, a child movie star. Specifically, his name or his prominence rose with that performance in that movie as a child star. Because Haley Joel Osment was the kid that had like this exceptional sort of like ability to see. If you don't know what I'm talking about, he's the kid that said. Or here's the famous line of saying, I see dead people. That line. It comes from that movie. And it comes from that character, specifically. So, Haley Joel Osment, obviously, was now a feature. Bruce Willis's character was now the character that somehow instructed. I still cannot understand how that storyline flowed because how he was instructed to protect the boy, it still baffles me till the day. Because I've tried watching even the movie where Bruce Willis and Samuel L. Jackson play together. Because Samuel L. Jackson's character has his own movie, Glass. And Bruce Willis's character has his own movie, which is The Sixth Sense. And then there's a movie that combines them together in the same storyline, where Glass tries to be sort of like the brains for Bruce Willis's character, but Haley Joel Osment's character is no longer in this collection. He would have obviously been a different dimension to the discussion, but it takes the sci-fi genre to a weird level. The downside obviously has been that when you look at this basic question in this book of name the five senses, it is straightforward. It's your hearing. It's your sense of touch. It's your sense of taste. It's your sight, your ability to see. There's one that I'm missing. And it's your hearing. Those are your five senses, guys. Literally your five senses. Coming up with the words nonsense, suspense, incense, common sense, and seeing ghosts. I mean, what in everything that's good and green on this planet did that kid think in that question paper? Now, still continuing on in terms of the other particular segments of the... yeah, I just saw one of the other particular things right now that I actually don't want to read here out in air because, you know, people might be listening. is when you go into the chemistry chapter of this book, one of the particularly interesting things that is given as a response in the scenario of trying to explain processes and, formulae and the kinds of, you know, specific situations that you can analyze in a scientific scenario for chemistry. One question that pops up. What is the process in which sugars convert to gases, acids, and or alcohol? Now, if you don't know, and if you failed your chemistry catastrophically bad, probably by the time that your parents probably think that you need some sort of divine intervention. I'm still trying not to make this show a comedy show for today's session. But hey, man, we're dealing with sarcasm and primarily an overload of just weird responses to a question paper, to question papers that have been documented in this book. So if you don't know, the process by which sugars convert to gases, acids, and or alcohol is sometimes known as fermentation. Fermentation. What is fermentation? Fermentation is that particular thing for those of you that love brewing stuff out there and some of you that would be at home. We love brewing traditional brews. If you add sugars. Well, sometimes in some cases you have to use microorganisms like yeast, you know, to get the, to spur the process on a little bit because the yeast then starts producing the alcohol. They start fermenting. But potatoes can also do that. I'm not giving you here, you know, what do they call that? Moonshine advice. I'm not giving you moonshine advice. I'm just explaining to you the particular processes that should be a no-brainer discussion in the broader scale of things. Getting into a notion of obviously one of the best responses I've ever seen in this book was that, what is the chemical formula for water? The response, tap and turn equals water. Guys, I'm honest with you. I've never seen kids that would give such responses in my life. I've known classmates who would not give an answer. Sometimes they didn't even fill out the question paper or write anything on the answer sheet, on the answer paper. And it was just submitted as is. So the downside of this kind of response is obviously that it's not there to encourage any future generations. So if you're listening as a teenager right there and thinking, hey, maybe I can give those kinds of answers in next year's exam, please don't do that. They actually will cost you points. Probably even sort of like some sort of a disciplinary, you know, negative response from the administration at the school. So please don't give such responses in your test sheets. And probably in many cases also a response from your parents. Reason being is that obviously you get to see, how easy it is to also, you know, get some light-hearted reading from books itself. Here's one. Now, if you don't understand this joke, I'm really sorry. But this particular joke is a straightforward line. This is the last one under chemistry. I promise you, it's the last one under chemistry. So the question is, why is Mars red? The response, because it's embarrassed about Uranus. So whatever you do, yes, you can break out laughing because if you don't know how the planets are positioned in our star system, I don't know if kids get taught this. But when you have to look at why Mars is red, it's not because it's positioned close to Uranus. Mars is known as the fourth planet from the sun. It's also known as the red planet for its orange-red appearance, specifically seen. One of the reasons as to why Mars is red is primarily because of that red-orange visual that is given specific to it. I mean, the response is even then specifically why it is deemed is because it contains a lot of iron. Iron, you know, iron ore, iron. It has been tested supposedly that Mars, the red, why Mars is known as the red planet is obviously because of that it contains a lot of iron, its dust and its rocks, the likes. A second scenario, if you're going to ask me, why does Mars have the name Mars? It's primarily because all of the planets except for us, Earth, has the Roman pantheon of gods named after them. You get Jupiter, you get Uranus, you get Neptune. It's Uranus, Neptune, Jupiter, Mars, Saturn. What is the other one also? There's another, there's, oh man, I forgot, I keep forgetting them all. But yeah, so in that scenario specifically, and if you'd like to know the order of the solar system, in terms of how the planets are aligned, it's a pretty straightforward situation. You get Mercury, you get Venus, then you get us. So Mercury is the closest to the sun. Planets by distance from the sun. You get Mercury first. So Mercury, you could think of Mercury as being the warmest or the hottest of the planets. Then you get Venus. Then you get us, the Earth. Then you get Mars. Then you get Jupiter. Then you get Saturn after Jupiter. Then you get Uranus, which is very far from Mars. You get Neptune, and obviously Pluto is on the other side of Neptune. So that should highlight to anyone the particular arrangement of the planets in our system, and how specifically the planets are set up. It's I don't want to say common knowledge, but it should be a discussion of you know, why we should know these particular things in our solar systems. I mean, I'm someone that is for the dispensation of scientific knowledge and strengthening of scientific knowledge, specifically in Namibia. But I'll tell you today, I did not learn anything about the solar system in my school curriculum, in my public school exposure. I did not learn anything about the solar system. Everything about the solar system that I know of, I learned from watching documentaries, from reading about it, from having a curiosity outside of the realm of education, and by pursuing the knowledge myself. As I will continuously tell you during the course of this program of the Holiday Reads here on Eagle FM, is that I am a reader. I am someone who reads. I don't hide it. And it's a lovely thing also to do, specifically because it helps you with expanding your knowledge base. And also, in some cases, if you're someone that goes to parties and sometimes ends up having conversations with people at parties or public spaces, you know, people will like to engage with you. For anyone out there specifically, don't worry, guys. You can always have a look at specifically what kinds of books to read, what particular kinds of stories to tell, what you would like to see. The only thing I can actually just advise you on, if you are seeking advice in terms of reading material, not just for adults, but also for young adults or for teenagers and the likes, there's a plethora of things to look at. It depends obviously on whether or not you really want to engage in this. If you're like one of my brothers who loves buying ebooks on tablets, It gets a little bit weird, man, because in many cases, you know, because of that light, that artificial light that comes from the tablet itself, it makes things difficult for a reader. So it also creates a little bit of a, what do they call that thing? An antisocial behavior trend. Even though books, reading a book in public is also considered a little bit of an antisocial trend, because you shut down. You don't pay attention to the surroundings or the public or anything. You literally go and sit and you read. Now, sharing the particular sort of like tongue-in-cheek responses that some of the tongue-in-cheek responses that comes through from the book F in Spelling, which is, you know, as it says here in the secondary headline of the book itself, the funniest test paper blunders that were obviously recorded. Sometimes, you know, various things around the world make excellent content for putting in a book. But yeah, and it's obviously discussions that give insight into human behavior and how human behavior itself either entertains us or informs us in the same vein. We'll quickly be taking a short break, dear listeners, and after the break, I'll come back and we'll head into the last 5 minutes of today's show.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and
Now coming back, dear listeners, and obviously getting into, as mentioned, the last 5 minute segment here on today's session of the, that being specifically the Holiday Reads program here on your number one talk radio station, wherever you find yourself, obviously, do stay tuned during your holiday programming because we'll bring you all these particular insightful and, informative. I almost said entertaining, but informative scenarios. And programming during the course of the holidays, wherever you find yourself. Now, just to share some of the particular last talking points for you from this particular book, The F in Spelling, written by Richard Benson, is one of the particular sort of like the funny chapters in the book. And this is the chapter on history. Now I know, and you know, we've all been at a stage where we just wanted to give up on that subject when we were in high school. The subject of history. In many cases, some people have stated, these were even like people that, that even I, you know, were classmates of mine. And I sometimes admired them for just having this particular blind conviction by stating, I hate history. And then you ask them, but why do you hate history? Because at one stage there was a debate that popped up in my, was it grade 10 class or grade 11 class? So the situation was, my classmates asked the question of, why am I the only one that seems to understand the subject matter? So I'll let you in on a trick. Even if you're now a teenager, who's probably getting into, you know, or advancing in your secondary school years, or if you're going to get into university next year, the trick is read in advance. Go and read about the subject matter of your subjects that you're going to study or that you've got on school or in university. Read in advance, but don't read to go and cram in the knowledge. Read like you would be reading a novel. Or a storybook, you know, a literature, a book of literature. read like you're normally reading. Firstly, it'll help you with comprehension, obviously, in spelling and understanding the various important details of the subject matter, but it'll also help you to actually build up pre-knowledge before you even get to the lesson plans. Now, one of the nice things that pops up from the history chapter of this book is there was a question that popped up in one of the exam papers. Who were the Bolsheviks? Now, if you guys don't know the history of communism, that's literally between Karl Marx and Joseph Stalin. There was a revolution that Russia went through. The revolution was, in many cases, is known as the Bolshevik Revolution or the Bolshevik Uprising. So one of the historical questions asked, who were the Bolsheviks? The response given by this kid was literally, it's a Russian ballet company. No, it's not a Russian ballet company. Even though the Russian ballet company or the Russians are pretty strong in that cultural scenario because they do have very strong Russian ballet productions and a lot of classical music productions and opera productions associated with that cultural identity of theirs, the Bolsheviks were not a Russian ballet company, just to set the record straight. The Bolsheviks were the guys that actually, you know, started the whole communism uprising specifically in Russia. They were the reason why the Russians withdrew from the First World War. And secondly, they were the guys that actually brought forth the, you know, the various particular sort of like transformations in the Russian imperialist zone and changing it over to the Russian socialist communist zone. On that particular notion, dear listeners, we're quickly be stepping into a short break. After the break, we'll be saying our goodbyes as the next program is about ready to bring you the next show.
Care that helps you care for others. That's the Basic Mental Health First Aid course, free for NHP members. You'll learn how to spot early signs of mental or emotional distress in friends, family, or colleagues, and how to guide them to the right support before small struggles become bigger problems. Learn more and register for free at nhp.com.na. T's and C's apply. NHP.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers,
you'll learn how to spot early signs of mental or emotional distress in friends, family,
Monday to Friday,
and how to guide them to the right support before small struggles become bigger problems. Learn more and register for free at nhp.com.na. T's and C's apply. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
And on that particular note, dear listeners, bringing us to the end of today's show here on your number one talk radio station, this was The Holiday Reads. Stay tuned for the next program to follow us to the break. We'll see each other again, same time, same place tomorrow.